この番組はジャパントップ10ナンバーワンの J-POP ポッドキャストです。このエピソードはスペシャルエピソードです。 You're listening to Japan Top 10 The number one Japanese music podcast. You're listening to a special episode on Japan Top
10. Hello everyone, this is Andy.
Not Brinton.
And you, of course, are listening to J-Top 10, and we have a very special episode for you this February. We are going to be doing songs from the Kansai region, which is, you know, a special place in my heart, so I'm very excited to introduce this to all of you. But before we get too far into things, we do have a few announcements for some of our listeners. Are you interested in advertising on our podcast? If you are, you can market your brand onto one of the world's most popular Japanese cultural-based podcasts out there, reaching up to potentially 70,000 listeners around the world on a weekly basis, with advertising costs that will, of course, fit your company's budget. If that all sounds very enticing to you and your company, please find the full details at jtop10.jp to find an advertising plan that will suit your company's needs.
Are you an indie Japanese music artist? If you create Japanese music and want some exposure, please get in touch with our music director by sending them an email at nola@jtop10.jp. That is nola@jtop10.jp. Along with the song that you would like us to feature on the podcast.
And if you're enjoying this episode thus far, just remember that you can always receive up to triple the amount of songs by becoming a patron donor, just starting at $1 a month. Plus, you'll receive this episode without any announcements interrupting the wonderful music and content, just commentary and music. If that sounds enticing, check out our website at jtop10.jp/club for all the details. Alrighty, well, I kind of came in really hot at the beginning of our intro saying that Kansai is a special place in my heart. Do you have any personal relationship with the Kansai region and its relationship to music?
It's not really something that I look out for in music, but based on what I'm seeing so far in this episode, it sounds like Kansai has had a lot of influence on music.
Yeah, definitely. As I mentioned up top, we'll be focusing on music and artists that all come from the Kansai region in Japan.
So, the Kansai region is located in the central western area of the island of Honshu and is made of 7 prefectures.
It has cities such as Osaka, Kyoto, Nara, and Kobe.
Kyoto was considered the capital of Japan for more than 1,000 years and is still considered a cultural capital.
And of course, Kansai has a rich history of music as well, from court music or gagaku and folk songs all the way through pop and rock.
The underground music scene thrived in Kansai from the late 60s after the Beatles performed in Japan and used local artists as their opening acts, putting the spotlight on and inspiring musicians and songs that held messages of protest.
Many underground folk songs were also written by student singer-songwriters during a time when other artists were experimenting with sounds and different genres.
The Kansai region became a host for various musical artists in the 80s and 90s and now has a huge live performance scene for rock, pop, jazz, hip-hop, reggae, folk, and many other forms of music.
And with so much musical influence, it's no wonder that so many musicians and groups that come from Kansai become household names, as we were kind of mentioning. Some of Japan's best-selling artists come from this region, and many of the artists that were started in the 80s and 90s are still active and very successful to this day.
Some of these artists have had their music used in anime, video games, and movies, so some of you might recognize a few of the songs we play.
Without further ado, here are some songs by artists from the Kansai region. Why don't we get into Kimi ni Todoke by Flumpool.
つぶらな瞳も
That again was Flumpool with their song Kimi ni Todoke. Now Flumpool has made contradicting statements about the meaning of their name. Sometimes they've said that the name comes from the English words for their number of members, lump, and pool, to create a name that means collective mass of four or a quartet. However, other times they've said that the name comes from the store Franc Franc and the English soccer team Liverpool FC.
The group's first single, Hana ni Nare, that is, Becoming Flowers, was used for a widely broadcasted TV commercial in 2008, which led to it earning 1 million downloads in just 10 days.
And that's 2008 downloads. I feel like that's even bigger of an achievement than it would be now. Maybe I'm just blowing things out of proportion.
No, not at all. Like, where do you even download things from? Like, back then you only really had iTunes, right?
Yeah, and if you're the rest of us, LimeWire. Shortly after that big success in 2008, in 2010 to be exact, despite their vocalist undergoing a polypectomy, they sang the opening song for the movie Kimi ni Todoke under the same title and released the song as a single. That song would be this song, and it debuted at number 2.
Most of their major singles have debuted in the top 10 on the Oricon weekly singles charts.
The band took a hiatus in 2017 while their vocalist recovered from functional dysphonia and returned to continue making music in 2019. Man, our guy has been going through it. He's really had one thing after another, hasn't he?
Yeah, definitely. But you know what? He's still able to do the thing he usually does. Yeah, I found out that actually, Kimi ni Todoke, they had I'm not sure what you'd even call it, like a re-recording of the song. And that was like back in October of last year. So yeah, and you know, like they've still got it.
That is wonderful. I do feel like I have not, again, this is a band that routinely comes up, specifically within my relationship to Japan Top 10, I feel like I encounter them the most through the podcast, actually. And I never follow up with them, but always hear that they're continuing on, keeping it rocking, which is all I guess you could hope for, right?
Yeah, that definitely checks out. I come across them like incidentally, but I never really like go out of the way to listen to Flumpool. But it's good to hear that they're still going.
Yeah, right. That's, I think we're resting right at the same energy level on Flumpool. But I did enjoy this one, and I don't know, I feel like I'm just getting waves of nostalgia. Maybe it's my relationship to Kansai, being that I was able to study there and live there for a bit, but I think mostly it's because all of these songs are hitting right at the time when I was getting very interested in Japanese culture, both musically and through other media like anime and manga and things, so.
Yeah, I feel you right there, and I can also feel my bones starting to ache. Oh,
yeah.
Gosh.
Oh, at least they're aching. Mine are, I think, disintegrating before my eyes. I'm just turning into a pile of ancient dust.
This is Scandal and their song, Shunkan Sentimental.
Stay tight.
That was Shunkan Sentimental by Scandal. Scandal was formed by four high school girls who attended a dance and vocal school in Osaka.
They performed live street performances in Osaka and at live houses around Kansai until they were signed to an indie label in 2008.
They performed songs for various anime such as Bleach, Star Driver, and Gegege no Kitaro.
And their most popular song, if I do say so myself, would be Shunkan Sentimental, this song, which was written for Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood.
Their appearance in anime helped to increase their popularity around the world, with their second album releasing in 42 different countries.
Dang, that is major. That's how you know you made it, I feel.
Yeah, I was surprised to know that Shunkan Sentimental was written for FMA, but I guess I couldn't be too surprised. A lot of the lyrics of the song kind of like lines up perfectly with moments of the show.
Actually, now that you mentioned that, I would not have guessed that. I would have guessed that it was written and then provided the normal route. But if I'm reflecting on the lyrics and the beats, that tracks.
Yeah, there's a part of the song that I guess is like you don't even have to be into Full Metal Alchemist to really appreciate it. But there's a part of the song that says, "The overflowing tears are neither that of weakness nor regrets, but fragments born from pain." And I know what most people are thinking. It's raining, isn't it?
Do you feel that? Do you feel the rain on your skin?
Yeah. Really just channeling my inner Roy Mustang right now.
Oh, I think you'll have to channel him for the both of us. I've unfortunately never seen Fullmetal Alchemist Brotherhood or the original. I'm a fake fan.
I mean, at least you got to hear the song, which is more than enough.
Yes. So by hearing the song, have I understood it all? Do I need to go and see it, or is this sufficient?
I'm not sure if you'll get the proper anime cred just by listening to the song. There's a whole story and all that behind it. Outside of, raining and all that. There's a lot of other songs talking about, a lot of other parts of the song just referring to, I guess, other points of Full Metal Alchemist.
I see. Well, I suppose I have more homework to do. Once again, at the end of every episode, I just sit for hours listening to all of these songs that I regrettably have not done up until this point in my life.
Oh, you're not alone. Last year I got heavily dunked on for not getting around to watching Jujutsu no Kaisen after it being featured for months on end in various countdowns.
Yeah, I'm sadly always in that getting dunked on category of watching things out of fear of being shamed is kind of my MO at this point, I suppose. On a completely unrelated note, in looking up some fun facts for this episode, I was just curious, digging through the Wikipedia and that, whether you take any credence to the Guinness Book of World Records or not, they did award Scandal as being the longest performing all-female rock group that contained the same members, if that makes sense. Longest active female rock band with the same members. I just pulled it up once more just to double check, which I think is pretty cool.
Yeah, but I guess I really like that you kind of added that sort of if you give credence to the Guinness World Records, given recent conversations around them, it's quite difficult to accept as a sort of record, if that makes sense.
Yeah, absolutely. It's just kind of, I don't want to discredit Scandal and their very long and prolific history. Kind of take that with a grain of salt, I suppose, is what I should say. We are rapidly coming to the end of our list, and I'm running out of very fun facts like that to share about the rest of our acts. So, without further ado, I would like to bring us into our second to last song, our penultimate, and that would be Osaka Romanesque by Super 8. Story. That again was Osaka Romanesque by Super 8. This band was formed in 2002 and were originally called the Hanjani 8 and was formed with 8 members, but now only has 5.
So more like Super 5 then.
Super 5.
But jokes aside, on the 4th of February, they announced their name change to Super 8 as part of the year-long 20th anniversary celebration of their CD debut.
They were originally created to be a modern enka group, but their style shifted slowly towards pop and rock.
Osaka Romanesque was their 4th debut single, releasing alongside their song Osaka Obachan Rock in 2006.
That song is a banger, by the way. Just go and I don't care if you did not like this one, go and listen to that one. It's required reading. The lyrics to this song, Osaka Romanesque, include many places around Osaka and references to the Kansai dialect. It's kind of like the, I don't want to say the updated version because it's not really that much updated, but it is closer to where we are now temporally than the song I mentioned earlier, which is Osaka Strut by Uduhuruz. Now, I quite like Kanjani 8. I feel like the last two songs on this countdown were tailored specifically to my personal history musically because I am just a huge Kanjani 8 fan. I loved Super 8, but not as much as Kanjani 8, but I do love getting to kind of take a break from Kanjani 8 here, because all of them are playing the instruments. They are, you know, trained on the instruments that they're playing for this band, which I think is not something that a lot of other idol groups can say always. That in and of itself, that they get to kind of flex their talents is always exciting to me.
Yeah, and I guess what's exciting is that you can consider yourself as an authority on, I guess, Kansai, given that you've been in Kansai, or in Osaka, you know, being a fan of this group. Like, how relatable are the lyrics?
I feel, okay, maybe this is a controversial opinion. I do feel like a lot of these like the songs and especially this song, it's kind of like pandering to what people imagine Kansai to be, if that makes sense, or Osaka, which I guess is kind of what you have to do if you're trying to market yourself as being from a certain place. I don't know if that makes any sense at all, but it's not true to the lived experience. I'm like, oh, haha, I get that. Or, you know what I mean? I can point out and be like, yes, of course, we all know. But I think that's the point. It's that we all know. It's not specifically to the local. Are you picking up what I'm putting down?
Yeah, you mean people aren't just going around saying ski-anen at each other?
Amazingly, no, but also you'd be surprised. Yeah, I appreciate that question. I am also, let me put the disclaimer out there, I'm not an authority on Kansai. I do enjoy, you know, the time that I got to spend there, but by no means am I will not speak for the people of Kansai and for anyone who's experienced it.
Well, as someone who's even less experienced with Kansai, they really weren't kidding with the Osaka part of Osaka Romanesque. Not so much the Romanesque part, though. Like, I really wanted to talk about medieval European architecture. Like, I had a whole bit dedicated to castles and churches.
I mean, we're a captive audience. We're all waiting. We're waiting for your bit.
Oh, no. Maybe another time. Maybe another episode.
Okay, well, we'll pitch that one. We'll pitch castles and Roman architecture within the Kansai region. That will be the next special episode that we have to script, I suppose.
Yeah, I mean, who knows? Maybe we might have a cultural episode dedicated to Osaka Castle.
Maybe, yeah. We're down. If you're interested in that, let us know. Reach out to us specifically and let us know.
But speaking of letting people know, yes, Super 8 has also done Osaka Romanesque on The First Take. Have you seen it?
Oh, no. See, I swear they're putting everyone on The First Take, and I miss it because I'm not subscribed. That's why I miss it. I take it that you watched it.
It's like a completely different vibe to the original song. I'm not going to spoil it, but like,
okay,
the only instrument that's on there is piano, and it feels a little bit more intimate in some way. I'm not sure if I'm like, if it's just me or anything.
I can imagine. I will have to check that out after we're done recording again, because I am interested why they chose, I suppose maybe they didn't want to, if they didn't have all the members, because it's down to just, was it just the five members, the five active members of Kanjani 8 there?
Yeah, it was just them five.
Okay, maybe it's because they didn't get the whole band back together. Once they reunite, then they can truly perform.
Last but not least, we have Popstar by Ken Hirai. I wanna be a pop star, kimi wo motto, muchu ni sasete ageru kara ne, kira kira no pop star, hane wo hiroge, maho wo kakete ake hyo, kimi da.
Keys.
That was Popstar by Ken Hirai, who is an R&B and pop artist.
I mean, kind of a self-fulfilling prophecy with the title of the song, right? Not to bury my excitement too quickly, but Ken Hirai debuted in 1995 and did not see critical success until his release of the song Nakuen in 2000.
The following album, The Changing Same, debuted that same year at number one on Oricon's albums chart. And the next year, he won Best Male Artist at the MTV Video Music Awards Japan.
And his song Popstar, released in 2005, and is famous for its music video where Ken plays seven different characters, including a raccoon mascot and his own manager.
The song reached number one on the Oricon charts, was featured in various rhythm-based video games, and helped them enter into the international market.
And is my favorite song of all time. It's up there. But I love this song. I don't know if our scriptwriters knew this or colluded to include this specific song on our countdown, but Ken Hirai is one of my favorite artists, and this is, I think, one of his best songs, or at least just one of his most interesting songs because it's quite out there from the rest of his catalog. I'm very happy to share this. I feel like I've shared it before, but maybe I'm misremembering. Maybe I just have been a prophet for Hirai Ken too much in the real world that I think that I've done it on the podcast just as much.
Yeah, as someone who's not really into Ken Hirai, but like I have played this song heaps on Oendan 2 on Nintendo DS. So yeah, that's how I know about this song.
Oh, funny.
Other than it being like a really bubbly and fun song, what parts of the song drew you to it being like, you know, your favorites?
I think specifically, I do think that this is a case where I saw the video and was very enamored by the idea of the video, and then the song just absorbed all of that, yeah, deep affection that I had for the kind of quirkiness and interest that I held for the video. But it also, the album that this song is featured on was one of the first albums that I had kind of branched out into. Ken Hirai is very mainstream, so I don't want to say it's non-mainstream, but kind of outside of your standard fare that you get when you're, you know, a burgeoning J-pop fan or J-music fan, this was the first kind of foray into sounds and artists that weren't necessarily going to be featured exclusively like on for anime or dramas that I was watching, and I think that's why it holds a special place in my heart. And like you said, just to what piqued my interest was how bubbly it was, and then the rest of the album is not bubbly at all. It gets into like very strange, kind of like, I shouldn't say strange, but more of his R&B tone, which I think you see a lot more throughout the rest of his catalog, which I also deeply enjoy.
Yeah, it sounds like, I guess it sounds like a lot of, oh gosh, how would you even describe it? It's like that very familiar 2000s sound, right? Like where every pop song was like kind of R&B, kind of hip hop.
Yeah, and you know, there's always like, I know that he's featured, yeah, he's definitely featured artists who are lean more heavily into hip hop or even rap, or, and then also, you know, collaborated with other pop stars to draw himself further into that sound. But yeah, it's exactly, you hit the nail on the head. It's kind of that general early 2000s hip hop. Sorry, I made a very silly pun there. I don't know if hip-hop landed, but I quite enjoy it, and I do recommend that people go check out. To say the rest of Henhidai's discography is, I guess, kind of immense, but at least check out the, I believe it's called Fake Star. That might just be the single. I can't remember the exact album. I think it is Fake Star, which also features Pop Star on it as well. Oh, sorry, excuse me. It's Fake and Pop. That's what it is.
Yeah, as someone who's only known about Henhidai through rhythm games, I've got one specific thing I would like to do after this episode. Bust out the old Nintendo DS and play some rhythm games.
Yeah, it sounds like, yeah, it's going to be that and Sakurambo on Taiko no Tatsujin.
Yeah.
I do really appreciate the journey that we got to take through all of Kansai and its various artists. If there are any other artist that you know offhand to recommend here would be the time, I guess, for our listeners. Any other Kansai regional artists that are coming to mind for you?
Oh, I don't think I Kansai anything else. It's like, yeah, I've been sorry for the pun, but I've been very surprised at just how many songs there are that have turned out to be from Kansai. So no, you never know. I'm probably just gonna go through my entire playlist and find, you know, which songs are from Kansai and which aren't.
That's exciting. I think that's a good little bit of homework. Not even homework, just something to further explore. I hope that all of our viewers will also take the same sentiment away and, you know, get out there and explore the world of Kansai-based artists, even though a lot of them are probably your favorite artists already. All right, and with that, we are completely at the end of our episode, but fret not, we do have more wonderful episodes coming to you shortly. Specifically, our next one will be a Cultures episode that will feature me and Shauna taking you through the live-action remakes of popular anime, which I'm sure will spark just as much nostalgia as this episode did. I apologize for the long, rambling, you know, soliloquies about all of my favorite pop artists from Kansai, but there'll be much more of that, if that's exciting to you, on our next episode.
Yeah, I mean, my knees are already hurting. Gosh, I don't know if we can talk about the 2000s for much longer.
Oh, I know. I need to go recharge and watch some TikTok or something. I don't know. All right. Well, it has been wonderful to take this journey with you, and hopefully we will catch you on the next one. Thanks for listening. Japan Top 10, the number one Japanese music podcast.
Support for this podcast and the following message come from Corient. Corient provides wealth management services centered around you. They focus on exceeding your expectations and simplifying your life. Corient has been helping high achievers just like you enjoy their lives more fully, preserve their wealth, and provide for the people, causes, and communities they care about. As one of the largest integrated fee-only registered investment advisors in the U.S., Corient has deeply experienced teams in 23 strategic locations. Corient has extensive knowledge spanning the full spectrum of planning, investing, lending, and money management disciplines. Leverage Corient's exclusive network of experts to craft custom solutions designed to help you reach your financial goals, no matter how complex they may be. Real wealth requires real solutions. For more information, connect with a wealth advisor today at Corient.com. That's Corient.com. Corient.com.
Looks like you need a vacation. Enter the 5-Hour Energy Where Will the Tide Take You sweepstakes. You could win a $10,000 dream beach vacation. Imagine jet setting off to a tropical paradise, having fun in the sun, or diving at a gorgeous reef. It's up to you. No purchase necessary. Go to 5HETIDE.com for official rules and to enter. That's 5HETIDE.com. Enter today. Ends June 30th, 2024.